views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. This is Change Matters. I'm Kenny Hendricks.
And good afternoon. I am Colette Williams. Good afternoon. We are live from DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, the Lone Star State. And it's Tuesday afternoon, and we are here to discuss Change Matters. We also have our show contributor, Renee Cole, who will be with us for the hour. And I hope you're joining us. We all hope that you're joining us and that you're going to contribute to this conversation that we're going to have. There is still so much going on that we have to discuss and that we have to come up with solutions for. So this afternoon, I hope you join us, and we're going to get this started. I'm sure all of you know that there was another shooting in Chicago of an 18-year-old who allegedly stole a car, a Jag, and was driving through the neighborhood. He took the Chicago PD on a very short pursuit, and the video is absolutely staggering to see how the officers get out of the cruiser and begin to shoot randomly in the neighborhood. It's absolutely appalling. It's appalling.
Hello, this is Scotty, the program producer. Sorry to chime in and interrupt, but we had some issues with trying to get everybody connected, and I made the mistake of not getting into the conference line where some listeners use that conference line. So pardon me while I get us connected to that. Excuse my malfeasance.
You're all right, Scotty. Things happen.
This service is provided in high definition by free conference call hd.com.
This conference is being recorded. Q&A session started.
All right, we're in.
Okay, the dial-in number is area code 704-951-5030. Again, 704-951-5030. And that's the number to get in on the call and provide some input and offer your solutions to us. And the conference line, if you want to just listen, is 641-715-3660, and the passcode is 549-032 pound if you'd like to just listen.
They can also ask questions by hitting *61, and I will bring them in that way as well, Ken.
Yeah. So thank you, Scott. It's *61 if you're listening to that to get into on this conversation. Again, another shooting. It seems like we're having these at least on a weekly basis, if not more than that. We've been in doing the show for about 2 months, and I think for the first 2 weeks we had agendas and that we were able to stick to the agenda. But since then, every week there's been something. Mm-hmm. We are living in very different times now, and I think we've really got to, and I don't mean to get off the subject of this specific shooting, but we've got to really think about what we're doing and how we can quickly, as quick as we can, find some different solutions, to some things. And on the second segment of the show, I'm going to be talking about black people and guns and how we relate to guns in our community. And I think that should hopefully will cause some people to call in and give their thoughts on about it. Just cause people to think about exactly where we are right now.
Well, we don't need to rehash what took place. There have been several incidents that have taken place over the last 4 or 5 days. So we really don't need to rehash that. What we need to talk about are things that we can do collectively to bring about solutions. We need to have some kind of resolve. We've got to solve the issue. There is an assault against the Black community, and I don't think anyone can deny that. And with all of the things that are going on, it's past time. We're overdue in terms of the kind of solution that we need. We know that protesting in the street, there is an audience with protesting in the street, but what really gets change? What really creates the change? What will ignite a discussion, change? Because there are discussions. We need to see some action behind those discussions. And not that that isn't happening. However, we want to see more. Because before things get better, I think everyone will agree, it is going to get worse. We thought the shooting in Dallas was bad. That was bad. But look out for what's about to come if we don't take control of this. And because it is happening in the Black community, everyone, we all have to take responsibility. We all have to take responsibility. And Ken, you are aware, and I believe Renee is also aware, how I feel about guns. But I now have come to the realization that that may be something that I will have to do. And I know how you feel about it. I hope that whoever's listening, those people out there, will call in and talk to us about their feeling in terms of what the solutions could be. This is a show that should be creating dialogue. And once we're off the show, there is dialogue. But let's talk about it live. Let's talk to each other. Let's get the dialogue going. Last week, we talked about Hidden Colors. We talked about some of the things that are contained in that video, which are very, very, very compelling and disturbing. That ought to incite discussion. And again, let's talk about it. These shootings, these killings are not going anywhere. There was another incident where the officer, the girl got out of the car. There, a scuffle ensued immediately. As soon as she got out of the car, there went hands on.
Well, I watched that, and Renee also, if you wanted to jump in here about that one, she got out of the car and dialed 911 and was talking to the dispatcher on 911, and they were, you know, saying, I guess they're going to go ahead and get somebody out there. Now, I have to say this. When people get into these situations, well, even before it's an altercation with the police, with a cop, they can go wrong, and many times they do go wrong for no reason. But one thing I do want to caution people is that cops have, and I don't mean to paint everybody with a broad brush, all the police with a broad brush, but a lot of cops have this power complex where as soon as you say no, they go off the deep end. They can't handle the fact that you told them no. Now, this woman, they arrested her for resisting arrest.
Where was the arrest?
Kept in jail for 2 days. So I think from a legislative standpoint, we need to try to look at some new laws, and I think Black Matters, the Black Lives Matter people, are trying to do something about this. But there needs to be something that says you can't arrest somebody for resisting arrest unless there is something that predicated the arrest in the first place. So you can't just say, you know, start putting your hands on people and say, I'm arresting you for resisting arrest, because there's no arrest. But at the same time...
And what precipitated that?
Right. But at the same time, I think we need to be cognizant of the fact that he asked her to get back in the car and she didn't want to get back into the car. Now, whether that's legal, whether he had a right to do that, that's
it's
debatable.
The authority. Right.
It's the authority. And he, as a matter of fact, he's been cleared of any wrongdoing. She spent 2 days in jail.
Ooh.
He's been cleared of any wrongdoing.
Well, no. Now that the video surfaced, now it's a different story. Because the video surfaced. So now there's an investigation, only because of the video. At first he was cleared, and now there's an investigation.
I just read this morning that he was cleared.
From the after the investigation?
Yes, they said he was cleared.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
And so, and if you've seen something more recent, again, that was this morning when I looked at
I
it,
will.
And he
I'll
was cleared.
Okay.
And my concern is, you know, again, the cops, you can be right, but you could be, you know, dead right or, you know, laid out on the street right. And so you really want to try to survive the encounter in the first place. And
right.
the moment you tell them no, and we know that all they have to say is, I feared for my life. For a cop to ask you to get back into the car, he can easily say, from a safety standpoint, I wanted the person to get back into the car. And he's got a right to do that. And I think, and I'm not trying to say we need to be, you know, laying over and just doing any and everything they tell us. But I think we also need to look at the situation and say, what's the best way to handle this situation? And is telling the police, no, I'm not going to get back into the car, is that really the best thing to do? You know, and if somebody thinks it is, then please let me know. But
is
I'm not.
I'm
not sure that that's the best way to handle that. You know, I tell my boys, you know, if you're stopped by the police, you know, you're courteous and you do what they ask, because you don't want to be dead right. You know, and I mentioned this on in the town hall. You know, my youngest was stopped and he obeyed and he did what they said. He said, I'm going for my license, and went off without a hitch. Now, of course, it's not going to happen every time, but you do want to put the odds in your favor. And once you start telling a cop, no, I'm not going to do this, no, I'm not going to do that, the odds are not in your favor. And so, again, I'm not telling everyone to be just a pushover and or anything like that, but really think about, you know, what's the end game? Once you tell that cop no, do you think he's going to go, okay, fine, never mind? Rarely is that going to happen. So, you know, think about the end game and what's going to happen. You know, so I just wanted to throw that out there. And I welcome anybody to tell me anything different. I'm one who can listen.
Right. And we don't want, all things don't work for all people. We know that.
Right.
And nowadays, chances are, when there is a stop, when an officer makes a stop, the adrenaline is running for both parties. We know that. And we know that, well, it certainly seems that there are more officers who are willing to be courteous and not go off on the deep end. But because officers are trained to have that authority mentality, you can't say no. If you say no, that's resisting arrest. There are all kinds of things. The end result, as Ken just said, is to get home. It's to leave there standing straight up. The ability to drive home and go home and see your family, or go wherever else you need to go. Mm-hmm. Whatever it takes to get to the next point in good order. Whatever it takes. Everybody doesn't listen. I'm sure the kid that was driving that Jag, as he ran, he didn't think about what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It never occurred to him that he would end up where he is today. And I'm sure, just like all the other people, they never thought that this would happen. Mothers have said, I never thought about my son not being here with me. Fathers have said the same thing. That's not something that any of us as parents ever want to think about. But unfortunately, Black lives are in peril. Black lives are in peril today. And we have to think about things that we never thought we'd have to think about, not prior to this time. So again, we want to talk about how we can get past this. We are in peril right now. Renee, do you have a comment that you'd like to make?
Yes, I thank you. I absolutely agree with you. I've been listening to so many intelligent people speaking on the subject lately, and what the people who are the voices, basically the intelligent voices for the Black community, are saying, our job is simply to get home. Our job is to get home. That's what our job is. It's mm-hmm. just to get home to our families, get home to, you know, period. And the problem is that no matter what we do, it doesn't matter what we do. If we get pulled over, it's a 50-50 chance we're going to get home. You know, I watched the video in Harris County, the young lady who was pulled over by the cop, and that both of you were talking about earlier. And thank God we have these street cams, these, you know, people stop and use their phones and what have you to take pictures, because people like her phone was, you know, the guy when he snatched her arm and stuff, her phone evidently fell on the car or whatever. You could hear her talking, and you can hear the scuffle. And the problem is that I understand human nature. Human nature takes over, just like you said earlier,
right.
Colette, that adrenaline is running on both sides. When human nature comes over, somebody just absolutely takes your arm and snatches it behind your back. It doesn't matter if they're in uniform or not. Human nature is not to drop. You know, like
right.
they say, if you catch on fire, you drop and roll, you know. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Stop, drop, and roll.
What, yeah, mm-hmm. stop, drop, and roll. That's not what human nature teaches us to do, and that's not what we're taught to do, even as children. When, you know, I just heard someone say the other day, that, you know, it was Hillary Clinton. When she said she was bullied, her mother sent her back outside and said, you go deal with that. Don't come back in until you deal with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Until you deal with it. So human nature and the way we're raised, we're not taught that when you're attacked, you drop.
Right.
So mm-hmm. so these women, when they're attacked, just like the other woman in Houston that happened in June last year. When
Sandra Bland?
The one who, I'm not sure what her name is. It might be Sandra Black. The one in Houston? Is that the one you're talking about?
No, she was somewhere else. She wasn't in Houston, but anyway.
Okay. Yeah, I'm talking about the one in Houston last year in June. Anyway,
there's so many, it's hard to keep up.
Okay, yeah, that's right. She did the same thing. When the cops attack, you don't just go limp, because that's not what we do. Our bodies absolutely go into fight or flight. We're going to do one or the other.
Right.
You're going to get shot in the back. Go on, what are you going
to
say?
How do you get it prevented from getting to? I'm trying to prevent people from getting to that point. Because
you can't. That's the point. That's why when the brother had his hands up, and he's saying, my hands are up, I have no gun, this man is a patient of mine, you know.
And he got shot anyway. Yeah. And he got shot anyway.
Right. That is a toy in his hand, a toy truck. You can't be any more articulate. Nothing could be more perfect. And then that man, thank God they didn't kill him. Thank God he's not dead.
Right.
So what I'm saying is that
Eloise, I'm sorry, Renee, remember when the officer approached him, he said, you shot me. Why did you shoot me? And the officer said, I don't know.
Right.
But we can tell him why. See, that's the thing. We know why he shot him. He knows why he shot him. He just couldn't say it out loud. And when we talk about the issues, one of the things that I continuously talk about is education, because I also talk about semantics and people using words synonymously that are not synonymous. When people keep talking about the system is broken, the system is broken, the system is broken, it's the wrong language. The system is doing exactly what the system was built to do. It is rooted in wickedness. It is rooted in violence. It is rooted to catch a slave. So when you look at that and you keep saying it's broken, we can't get anywhere. No further than if a person has cancer and you're treating diabetes, they're going to die of cancer. If they have diabetes and you're treating it like it's cancer, they're going to die from diabetes. It doesn't matter. You have to call it what it is. If you have a person that has an alcohol problem and you keep saying, test them for drugs, drug test them, drug test them, you're never going to find the alcohol. You're never going to talk about the alcohol problem because they don't have a drug problem. When you test for drugs, you're not going to see alcohol. When you test for alcohol, you're not going to see drugs.
But we have to, and I agree with you, Renee, but we have to have some sort of baseline or blueprint, if you will, for dealing with these situations on the street with police. And I understand that anything can happen out there, and often it does. But again, we have to have some sort of baseline that says, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z to improve my chances of surviving the encounter. Because unfortunately, we've seen where these things go wrong and the police walk.
Right. What it is that we can't, this is what it is. Okay, firstly, we have to admit what the problem is. We first have to talk about the system was built to catch us and kill us.
Right.
Okay, you have the young woman who was in she was in custody. And in custody, her name is Natasha McKenna. She was handcuffed and her legs were shackled, and one of those officers tased her four times. That woman was a young mother. She's dead. Mm-hmm. Why would you tase somebody who's got, she's shackled and she's handcuffed and she's a little woman?
Because okay. You can.
Simply
that's
because
right.
You can.
Okay, so exactly. What I'm saying is, because of that, what I'm saying to you is that with that in mind, what we have to understand is that it's just like when Harriet Tubman was moving slaves. She said, don't talk, don't move. And they knew they couldn't talk, they couldn't move, they couldn't breathe, they couldn't make a sound. Because if they did, all of them would be dead.
Right.
Okay? What I'm saying is that we have to first admit out loud, at least us, even if the police don't, even if the authorities don't, we have to acknowledge that this is an institution that was initiated to do what it's doing. So what we first have to do is recognize that and stop saying it's broken. We have to start saying we're not going to allow it anymore. And in the meantime, when we get stopped, every person that gets stopped needs to hit their phone. We all need to know how to do what Diamond did. We all need to know how to turn our phones onto live Facebook and stream live. We all need to know how to do that. I don't know how to go on Facebook Live like she did. But we all need to learn how to do that. At a minimum, when something happens, have a somebody in your phone that you know is going to answer their phone and hit dial and call up a person. Tell them where you are and tell them you're being pulled over and set your phone on the dash. At a minimum. Mm-hmm. Because we cannot afford for people to not know what's going on. The only reason that we're getting anywhere is because of videos. The only reason that we're getting anywhere is because we now have these videos. We now have a way to show that this is actually happening. And
but we also need to understand that that's not a panacea. Okay.
No, it's not. It's where we start from. It's like, okay, now that we have
where we start, because that in and of itself helps to protect us as a community. That alone, because then we begin to have others there. They may not be there physically, but at least someone is there. They can witness, they can hear, they can sometimes see. Because we cannot rely on what an officer's or a patrol car's dash cam has said. Because we know, just in this Paul O'Neill case, we know that oftentimes either they're going to be turned off or there will be some malfunction or something's going to happen so that the truth does not come out. And we were taught years ago in the 60s, we were taught that each one teach one. Each one reach one, which means we never went anywhere alone. We were always in the company of other people. Somebody was there. You don't travel by yourself. And now we've become so independent, we have to only rely on ourselves. We cannot trust anyone else. And therefore, we get where we are now. And if we come out of that mentality, if we stop that mentality and understand that we must be about inclusion,
We have to be about inclusion. And Renee, you're right. Turn on that phone. Turn on the video. Turn on chat. Turn it on so that when you're stopped, when anybody out there is stopped, you're not alone.
But be careful how you do that. If your phone
absolutely,
is
absolutely,
in your purse,
right.
In your purse, in your
keep your phone out.
Keep your phone out somewhere where you can get to it quickly. Because as soon as you start messing around in the car, you become a suspect. You know, and anything and all they got is I thought he/she was going for a gun. So so a couple of the things. What I'd like to do is say, you know, what we're talking about is our ways to deal with the situation once you've gotten stopped. And I would say the first thing to do is comply as best as possible. And secondly, turn on your phone. Hopefully you can get your camera on or at least a recording or call someone, just like Renee said. Do those two things. But I would encourage people to comply as much as possible, because noncompliance doesn't get you anywhere. You know, and I've been saying this recently, when a policeman tells you turn around, put your hands behind your back, the bottom line is you're going to jail.
Right.
The question is, are you going with or without an ass whooping? And that's up
or
to you.
Or dead or alive.
Or dead. So you're not going to get out of going to jail at that point by not complying. By complying, you may keep yourself alive or at least stop getting your butt whooped before you end up in jail with a concussion and a couple of broken bones.
And hung.
And possibly hung in jail.
With them saying the individual committed suicide, like in the Sandra Bland case.
Right. But at the same time, get badge numbers, get names, file complaints. Because the first time you do it, nothing's going to happen. The second time, nothing's going to happen. Third time. But it's going to be at some point, something has to happen.
Right.
You know? And it has to happen within the system. And in the meantime, from a legislative standpoint, and Claude, I was telling you this earlier, we need to encourage our lawmakers to pass laws that say, for example, if a policeman turns off his camera during a situation like that, he's automatically fired.
Right.
You know, or at least some sort of severe penalty has to be in place. They cannot continue to do that with impunity. He's fired for turning his camera off. Okay.
And it should be something that they feel, if the camera is off for any reason, there will be repercussions. They need to know that there will be repercussions. And in the Paul O'Neill case, when after the officers shot the boy in the back, they then proceeded to say, use the MF word and the GD word, now I'm going to have to sit behind a desk. Mother effing behind the desk. They didn't care about his life. They didn't care about calling anyone. They were concerned about sitting behind a desk.
And the other things, and we were talking about this, Colette, you had a story about a woman who was going to call the police on her son because her son didn't pay her for the car.
Right.
We need to understand that in our community, if you call the police on a spouse, an offspring, a relative, anything, it's never going to end up well. And we need to have the black men in the community be available. If you've got an adult child who has some mental issues and may be acting out and have an episode, you need to be able to call the men in the community to come and handle the situation. You call the police, it's not going to end up good.
No,
it's
it is.
Never going to end up good.
No, it is.
And we are at the bottom of the hour. Again, I'm Kenny Hendricks. This is Change Matters, and we're having a lively discussion along with Renee Call. And we're going to take a short break for some station identification, and we'll be right back.
Right back.
listening to Change Matters Solutions on Black Talk Radio, hosted by Kenny Hendricks and Colette Williams.
Welcome back to Change Matters. I'm Kenny Hendricks.
And I am Colette Williams, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas. It's Tuesday, August 9th, 2016. And we're going to continue this lively discussion on how we can curb or at least reduce some of the unnecessary violence that's going on in the community. One of the things that I wanted to say, Renee and also Kenny, is that it never ceases to amaze me. And as you and I were discussing, my mother used to always say, it never ceases to amaze me. But the things that go on, Renee mentioned that these things are supposed to happen. And we know that. We know that intellectually. We know that spiritually. There has to be a way for us to change the course. And with the things that are happening, yes, it's by design. We have come into the 2016, we're in the year of 2016, and we are going right back into modern day slavery. And it never ceases to amaze me that some people will think that this is not so, that this is something that it's either being made up or it's just happening. Well, black on black crime, what about that? But the man that said, what about the black-on-black crime? You don't say anything about that. That happens every day. So because there is black-on-black crime, that gives the authorities the right to further commit crime, to shoot randomly when they think the only thing that they can do is shoot to kill. So black-on-black crime is an issue that in the black community, we have got to resolve black-on-black crime.
In my estimation, the term black-on-black crime is a myth. Black people kill each other at 93%, and whites kill each other at around 86%. The difference is not that great. But they keep talking about... The fact of the matter is, statistically speaking, murders happen... People that are murdered are generally murdered by someone they know. And by default, most people know people of their own race. So there's nothing... unique about black on black crime, and race is not the indicator of crime. Poverty is, and since more blacks live in poverty and have to steal and do drugs and things like that, so that's more of an indicator of why crimes happen and not race. So every time someone mentions that to me, I tell them the same thing, that is a myth. You know, white people. Well, if you look at, let me just say this, and I'll let you go ahead, Renee. If you look at the girl, her last name was Smith, I think, in Carolina, maybe 10, 15 years ago, who killed her two kids, drove them into the water.
Right.
And then you had the girl here in Texas, Darlie Routier, who killed her three kids. And he had all this spate of white women killing their kids. Nobody came out and said, what is this about white infanticide? And it was all white women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you don't hear that. But go ahead, Renee.
Okay, two things. The first thing I want to do is go back very quickly, very briefly and very quickly when you were talking about the policing. I do want to say that as communities, we need to start having meetings in churches. We need to start having meetings in homes. And
right.
We need to start talking about how we're going to protect ourselves and one another. That's the first thing that we can put that to action immediately. And people need to take responsibility and say, I'm going to be the one. That's a good idea. I'm going to start that in my neighbor, in my family. I'm going to have all my family over where we normally have our, you know, whatever it is you have, your Sunday dinners or fish fries or whatever. Have your folks over and sit down, everybody. If you have, you know, some people say, well, you know, our family is interracial. We look like the United Nations. Have everybody come in. This is not just a black issue. We need everybody involved. The other thing that we need to talk about is when we get pulled over, what we understand now, and it's getting more and more and more prevalent, is women used to feel not so threatened. Black women are, we're still, our plight is still not as heavy as the black man's plight, but they are after us too. So what we
need
to do is make up in your mind ahead of time. You write it out. What will I do if I get stopped? Now, there's two things that we need to do. We need to not get out of our cars unless they tell us to get out.
Exactly.
Yep. Exactly. Don't get out of the car.
That's right.
In the past, when I've been stopped, I'll open my door and they'll say, get back in. So don't
you never
get out
open
of
your
car.
Door. Never
That's
open
the
it.
First thing. Do not get out. And if you don't get out, then if they shoot you, they have to shoot you from out of the car. That's going to be less of being able to say they felt threatened. So don't get out of the car. And the second thing I want to say is that don't talk to them. Answer questions and don't say anything.
That's very, very
difficult, because this is not what human nature does. And it does make us feel like, you know, inferior and slaves and all of those things. But to just like the slaves did, they had to shut their mouths to stay alive. We need to understand that sometimes we just have to close our mouths, because your ego and your self-pride and your dignity, that's not going to keep you alive. And it's a battle of egos. When you get into a discussion or an argument or a debate with a cop, you can't win, because his ego has a gun. Okay?
Right.
His ego is that gun right there. So because of that, we have to learn to not talk. A cop almost pulled me over the other day. He threw his lights on me. It was very intimidating, and I was terrified. I never thought to pick up my phone, which was right there. I never even thought about it, because I was so terrified that he threw his lights on me. And he wound up getting behind me. I was on the service road, and I pulled over onto the shoulder, and he pulled over, and I could see that he was on his, you know, radio, I guess radioing that he was pulling me over. He had absolutely no reason to pull me over, so I was terrified. I finally stopped, and at first I felt like not stopping, and I realized all these things are going through my head, and I'm like, if I don't stop, then they're going to kill me. So I have to stop. So I pull over, you know, in fear, and I never could think to pick up my phone, because I'm a baby boomer. We didn't have phones when I used to get pulled over by the cops.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not my first mind. I commend Diamond every time. I have no, that just like she said, when people ask her how did she do that, she said God, because she wouldn't have been able to do that on her own. When that cop was behind me, I never would have thought to pick up my phone. I would have been afraid to pick it up, because he'd seen me moving around in the car. So what I'm saying, and then he backs up way down. Once he got me pulled over, he just backed up down the service road, going in the wrong direction, backing up. So I have no idea why he even pulled me over. But the point is this. Do not talk. Don't feel like, well, these are my rights, because you will be dead right. We know what our rights are.
Right,
those
right.
rights,
we
when
know.
They were initiated,
exactly.
they were not initiated for us.
For us,
these
exactly.
rights have been
no,
initiated since we were 3/5 of a person.
That's
so what
right.
we have to understand is that we are not, if there was never integration, there was only desegregation. So since we're not integrated into the society, those laws do
not
necessarily
apply
to us.
That's
so I wanted
once
to
realize that, go on.
Right.
Yeah, so I wanted to segue in, because you talked about something there, Renee, into this self-policing thing. I read this morning, and I apologize for not having the article in front of me, where in Chicago, a bunch of the brothers have gotten together, and they're going to start self-policing. They put out the word looking for, and you can probably look this up. I was trying to look it up right now, but I can't find it. They
isn't
put
that
out
on I'm sorry, isn't that on the... keep talking. It'll come to me. I can't think of the name right now.
They've put out the word looking for local men in the community who have CHL, the concealed handgun licenses, to patrol the communities. That's what we need to do.
Yes.
And again, just like Renee said, this doesn't take much to do. All it takes is to do it. Start having some meetings, whether it's at the churches or homes, at the YMCA, the Boys Club, having meetings. Okay, somebody, you have shifts. We start policing our own communities, which I want to segue into the whole gun situation. You know, growing up in California.
Black Star Project.
Okay,
remind
me. Wasn't
that on the Black Star Project in Chicago? It's out of Chicago.
Okay. growing up in California, California has very strict gun laws, and you know, most people that have guns are criminals. Of course, our dad had a gun because he had his own business, and I remember him carrying a 38 in his briefcase all the time. Other people, you know, people just don't have the guns. Now, I've been in Texas a little over 20 years, and it's very different out here. And I've come to a different realization about how about black people and guns. We, in our communities, the only people we know that have guns are criminals. And I'm being very general here, being very general. People, especially in the large urban areas, L.A., New York, Chicago, Detroit, areas like that, you get into some of the smaller areas, especially where there's a rural population like Texas and some of the other southern states, people see guns very differently. And one of the things I've come to realize is that we have a right to carry guns, and we should be carrying guns. Right now, we've got a presidential candidate who says he's going to be the new law and order candidate, new law and order president. If you recall who the last law and order president was, it was Richard Nixon. And what that means is if you think these cops are bad now, under a Donald Trump presidency, they would have carte blanche to do anything they wanted. And not only the police, but these so-called vigilante citizens a la Zimmerman would have the right to do anything they wanted to do. Oh, I thought he was going to do this. I thought he was going to do that. There was another one in Carolina I read about this morning. A guy, there was some black kids out in the middle of the night doing whatever they do, and he shot them, shot one from inside his garage. Now, he's been arrested on murder charges. Now, what we'll have to see what happens there. But we need to start arming ourselves, you know.
If they can, we can.
If they can, we can. I go to gun shows all the time. I was at one this past Sunday, and I've talked about this before. I saw more black folks at this gun show than I had ever seen before. Now, it wasn't tons. It wasn't packed with black people, but every few minutes I was seeing someone. Normally you go, I see somebody black, then maybe another 30, 40 minutes goes by, then I'll see somebody else. Almost the entire time there, I saw somebody black. And I spoke to a few brothers, and we were all of the same ilk, saying, yes, we need to arm ourselves legally, arm ourselves. Everybody I talked to, all the brothers I talked to, I asked them, have you got your concealed handgun license? Get your concealed handgun license. You know, go to the range. Do these types of things. Because if things happen, you know, if Trump is right now saying that the election's going to be rigged, and I guarantee you there's a whole bunch of people out there who believe him and are going to be mad about it.
They're going to take to the streets. If
they're going to take to the streets when he loses.
And we need to be, you see, our two generations ago, our grandfather, you know, to try to own a gun unless you were in a rural area, and if you were in an urban area, it's not going to happen. Okay, so we need we need to look at it and see. We vote Democrat, you know, primarily, but not 90% of us vote Democrat, and that's fine. But the Democratic Party is anti-gun, and I'm not telling anybody to jump over to the Republican side. But we need to be careful about that, because when they start saying no guns, no guns, no guns, that means we can't protect ourselves either. That means if you look at, again, the places with the high levels of crime, Chicago, Detroit, things like that, those people in those cities can't even protect themselves.
Right.
They can't protect themselves.
And the same thing in California.
Same thing in California. And I hate to sound like a right-winger, but if you look at the areas with the most strict gun laws, the strictest gun laws, those are the areas that have the highest rate of crime.
Right.
Chicago, D.C., very strict gun laws. People are getting 50 people in a weekend getting shot in Chicago. But then you go to areas that don't have the strict gun laws. You do not have that level of crime. You know, here in Texas, you don't have that level of crime. Areas like Vermont, Arizona. Arizona is a constitutional carry state. You don't need a license. You can walk down the street with your gun on your hip and one on your shoulder.
Right.
It's completely legal. You know, so black people really need to rethink their positions on.
Black people also need to understand. Don't just like that guy who was walking down the street in Dallas during the Black Lives Matter rally. Black folks, once again, because we don't have the same, the laws don't apply to us like they do to them. We have to be very careful in our carrying.
And he did the right thing. He did the right thing. The cop said, hey.
But he shouldn't have had the gun on him like that in the first place, especially at a rally, because that's too dangerous. You're attracting attention.
Just
like when the guy started shooting, mm-hmm. they thought it was him at first.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the cops could have just killed him on the spot.
Yep.
So what I'm saying to you is that when black people carry, I've seen many videos where if black, like they did one, and I wish black folks and white folks would stop doing these things online where they'll go out and they'll show how the cop react if a black person does exactly what a white person does. These people are putting their lives in extreme danger to prove a point. We already know the point. I wish black folks wouldn't do that. They showed a white guy walking down the same street.
And that was in Arizona.
Okay, yeah, exactly. And it was. And then they showed the black man and what all they did to the black man. We cannot afford to do those types of videos because they will kill you.
Right.
We already know that happens, and I applaud people who want to prove that. It's already proven. And that's why I keep saying we need to learn. We need to read. We need to teach. Because if
we need to
understand once we're educated, we don't need to do videos like that because we already know it is the truth. And those who will not be convinced, stop trying to convince them. They don't want to be convinced. Last night on Trevor Noah's show on Comedy Central, which I always tell people, if you listen to Trevor Noah and you listen to Larry Wilmore, those people are telling the truth. Listen to those people on Comedy Central because they give you the news exactly the way it is. Last night they were asking people questions. I'm not going to go into great detail on that. But the point that I'm making is that if we read, if we learn, if we teach, we'll know to stop calling it other things other than what it is. We won't make those videos.
Let me give the call dial-in number out real quick. If you want to get in on this conversation, we've got another 15 minutes left in the show. The area code is 704-704-951-5030. Again, 704-951-5030. If you just want to dial in and listen, you can call 641-715-3660. The passcode is 549-032 pound. And if you're listening on that line and would like to chime in, then just hit star 61. Go ahead.
There was a prosecutor who was at a Trump rally, and there was a young woman who from the Trevor Noah show, and she was out interviewing all these people at the Trump rally. And she asked this prosecutor a question about Black Lives Matter and about the policing and how the police are treating black people. And he said that it is absolutely non-existent that the police are, you know, mistreating and brutalizing and killing black people. He said it's non-existent. It doesn't happen. If they shoot, if they kill, whatever they do, the black person deserved it, in so many words. So the woman said, well, if I show you a video and I show you, and she was asking him, if I show you these things, he said, nothing's going to change my mind. So what he was telling her is that I don't care what you show me, I don't care what you say, I don't care who
what.
What I'm telling you is any crime against black people committed by police is non-existent. It doesn't happen. So all I'm saying is that quit trying to convince people who can't be convinced.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to defend the indefensible. Don't try to forgive the unforgivable. Leave it alone. What we can do, let's do that. Those people are going to fall by the wayside eventually. We can't change their minds. So we don't need to do these videos where black men are pretending to steal their own car. The white guy pretended to steal the black man's car. Nobody even noticed. The black man pretends to steal his own car, and here comes cops from everywhere. It happens all the time. We know it happens. Please don't make any more of these videos, because if they kill you, it's just going to be a waste. It's horrible. The other thing that I wanted to get to real quickly, Kenny, is that you talked about the black-on-black crime. When people bring that up, it is an excuse. White supremacists are so good at diversion. When you ask them a question, they divert. I call it, demolition derby. They just knock it out of the way. I also say their commentary is who you're going to believe, me or your lying eyes. Now, right. The one thing about black-on-black crime that I do have to bring out is that, once again, read, learn, teach. If you understand why black people fight each other, why black people are having the problems they're having, it all goes back to the history of this country. Black mm-hmm. boys used to go fight their brothers, their cousins, their friends, their neighbors. White men would put them in a circle and have them all fight to the point of practically killing each other, and the mm-hmm. last one standing would get a nickel or a penny right. or a dime right. that he would take right. home to help his family. So when you have all of these things that are happening in the black community that our people are talking about, the psychosis and the pathology of black people, yes, we know these things, but guess what? Pull the layers back, read, learn, teach, and you will mm-hmm. find out where there is a historical reason for everything that black people do that looks different or crazy or whatever label you want to put on it. It all goes back to the oppressor and the white supremacist and what they have instilled and initiated in slavery, in Jim Crow, and right. on and on and on, and it still exists today.
Right. And to your point, when you were talking about Larry Wilmore showing this on the Trevor Noah show, the show What Would You Do? That's one of my favorite shows. The host of the show always has a segment where he will show the black version and the white version, or the black version mm-hmm. and the Hispanic version, or the black version and the Asian version, or the male version and the female version. And without fail, when he is showing, for example, someone is stealing a bike, when the black person is stealing a bike, the woman stops, gets on her phone, and says, "I'm calling the police." Well, she doesn't know if the guy's stealing the bike or not, but it looks like he's stealing the bike because he asks her help. He has a pair of clippers. He says, "Can you help me?" She immediately gets on her phone in Central Park. She calls the police. Well, when the white guy says, "Can you help me?" they stop. They help him. They don't know whether he's stealing the bike or not. But for sure, when the black kid says, "Can you help me? I can't get this bike," they know he's stealing the bike. They know that he is stealing the bike. So on What Would You Do?, we're living and seeing these scenarios play out all day, every day. It's not just on television. It's not just in areas where people don't have any crime and they all of a sudden see a black person taking a bike. These things are going on all the time, every single day. And those folks, and forgive me for saying, those folks who think that there is no difference between black and white, that's an ostrich life. Your head is in a hole. Know that there is a difference. There will always be a difference. And for those people that say we live a colorblind life, there's no such thing. Get your head out of the sand. There is no such thing. Not today. That's not how we're living. There is a difference. And you're being told that difference every single day. And as you stated, Renee, it is time, and I tried to tell, I told my brother this on Sunday, it's time for everybody to have a family meeting. It's time to designate who the matriarch and patriarch of the family are. We know lots and lots of baby boomers. It's time for everybody to say, this is what we need to do. We need to create inclusion in our family. We need to designate certain people to do certain things. And I have said it on this show, and I'll say it again. When we were kids back in the 60s, we had men who were the heads of the community, Jarabati and Hodati. They did everything in the community. Those were the men that we called on. Those were the men that took control of what was going on in the community. Mm-hmm. And we respected that. We respected that. And I will not forget that. Why is it we don't have that today?
One of the reasons is that the family has gone up in smoke. We have the millennials, we have the Generation X, who don't need a family. They are independent, they can do what they want to do, they have technology. So they don't need the family. That is a falsity. Everybody needs to have the family, and this is something that we're all going to suffer from if we don't create inclusion, if we don't create the control in our own community, Black control.
One of the things I'd like to add is that, you know, we talk about a lot of these things, and all of the great conversations that are had on all the shows on Black Talk Radio Network, and I think Scotty's done an outstanding job in putting
Absolutely.
This together.
Yes,
he's got a brilliant technical mind and all the stuff that happens in the background, and then he gets in and gives us a great input on the front end. But I think we can all rest assured that there are solutions. There are ways for us to get past all of these problems. There's no one thing, there's no panacea, but what I don't want is us to have this demeanor where, you know, all these things are wrong, we're never going to fix it, so, you know, what the hell. We can find solutions, and we don't have all those solutions. We may not have any solutions right here. And Colette, your friend, sent something last week or the week before, said she hadn't heard on any solutions on the program.
Right.
That's because we're looking for solutions. Just because you may not hear a solution on the program doesn't mean we're not looking for solutions. It just means we haven't come up with one yet. We haven't come up with the right ones. Okay, so we're always looking for solutions. So as you listen to this program, you hear us talk. And if you think if you don't think you're hearing about solutions, call us. Let us know what you think some of the solutions are. Because what you have to do is you have to take it like a bucket and throw everything you think into that bucket and pull those solutions out one by one and say, does this work? No, it doesn't.
Right.
Does this work? Yes, this does. And also realize there's no one thing that's going to work. It has to be collective. You know,
it has to be.
That's why
we're doing
a Black thing. It's everybody
you know,
has to.
Everybody, and that's why we're doing. That's why we're doing the show, because change matters, and change does not come from just one person. That's why inclusion and collaboration and togetherness, stronger together. That's why it makes sense, and that's why we've got to do it. And we've never said that the solutions are going to come from us. They're going to come from those who are listening, who are actively participating in the discussion, who have the same mindset or close to the same mindset that we do, who feel that the solutions are out there. We have to talk about it. And it may take 50 shows, but out of those 50 shows, we will come up with solutions. And then we put them into practice. We don't just talk about it.
And change is never easy.
No, it isn't.
Right.
Change is never easy.
When you realize what it's rooted in. This has been going on for 400 years.
Yes.
So you can't change it overnight. The other thing is that when people talk about solutions, the first thing to any solution is you have to recognize, you have to admit there's a problem, and you have to isolate the problem. You have to tell the truth about the problem, and you have to educate yourself about the problem. These are solutions. These are the initial part of any solution. So when a person says that we're not talking about solutions, we are talking about, before you can come up with the end result, you have to have a blueprint. What is the blueprint to what we're dealing with? The first blueprint is to read, is to learn, is to educate yourself and teach others. So you recognize, you admit, you tell the truth. We have to tell the truth. We have to use the right language. We have to stop using words like broken and fix it to systems that are working perfectly. They're working the way they're supposed to be working. We'll only begin to do that through educating ourselves. This is a difficult process. So it's not about sit there and listen to somebody else. We all have to roll up our sleeves and get dirty down in studying and learning and teaching. The other thing I want to bring about real quickly is that when Colette was talking about the difference in white and black, is that there's a young Black guy in California.
Well, Renee, we are at the top of the hour. We're going to have to go ahead and cut this off. I hate to cut you off, but We are at the top of hour. We want to thank everybody for listening. We want to thank Scotty Reed for putting this show on. This is Change Matters Solutions. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Kenny Hendricks.
And I am Colette Williams with our contributor, Renee Cole. And we thank you very much for joining us, Renee. And we will see you next. We will see you next Tuesday, 11 Pacific time, 1 Central time, and 2 on the East Coast. Thank you again. Join us for Change Matters.
Bye, all.